Golden State Media Concepts Baseball Podcast. We cover everything Major League, from spring training to the World Series. We've got your favorite club covered, from New York to Boston to LA. This is the Golden State Media Concepts Baseball Podcast.
Thank you for listening to the Golden State Media Concepts, a baseball podcast, where we discuss everything in the world of baseball. As always, I am one of your hosts, Ben.
And I'm the other host, Jeremiah.
Yes. You had a good week, Jeremiah?
Yes, I did.
I feel like I said this to Alex earlier. I feel like I've been gone for so long because my last day here was Friday. Right. With you, with the football show and then the sports show. And then we were off Monday because of Labor Day. The office was closed. And then I was gone Tuesday, now I'm back today. So I've been gone for 5 days, and I mean, it feels like 5 days too long.
Yeah, it does feel long, you know, because me and you enjoy doing our shows. I'm not going to lie, it felt kind of lost on Monday not coming here in a way. I was like, because so much happened in football over the weekend that I couldn't wait to talk about it on Tuesday. I had to wait literally an extra day. And then, you know, of course, a lot of things happened in baseball, and I couldn't wait. I don't know. Sometimes I kind of wish we did this show every day, but we just can't because of schedule conflicts between me and you. But, hey, we're still doing two shows of this every week.
Yeah, I mean, we're still grinding them out. So, and then I walked in the studio, and it's great that we have air conditioning in here because we didn't have that at the start of the summer.
But
I walked in here and I swear I was in like Alaska because it is freezing in here.
I know it is not cold here anymore. No, I mean it's not hot as it was in the summer.
I mean, it's still up there. Today in Sacramento it's 97.
Yeah,
it is like freezing in here.
No, I mean like when it is scorching hot, like in the triple digits in the summer. Yeah. We didn't have the air conditioning. I had to roll up my sleeves.
Yeah, I mean, one point I thought
about taking my shirt off, but I didn't want to do that to you.
Yeah, please don't. So, anyway, speaking of all things baseball, we're going to get back on the topic here, but that was a nice little segment. So, we're going to be talking a few things here on our first show. We're going to be talking about Tim Tebow. Of course, last week we talked about his MLB workouts, his tryouts, his open workout to all the scouts of 28 of 30 MLB teams. Well, now reports are coming out that there's at least one team very adamant about a potential of signing him, maybe some others that are interested as well. So we're going to talk about Tim Tebow and the sort of chances of him being on a team hopefully sooner rather than later in Tebow's instances. Then we're going to be talking about Clayton Kershaw. We also reported last week that he is set to return sometime in September. Well, we have that date. He's going to be returning on Friday.
Yes.
So he will be coming back to the rotation just a couple of days. Then we are going to end the show with a team who is still fighting around in the playoffs, but since then has been trending downward.
I think they're out.
Especially with what has happened over the past week or so. So past week and a
half. Especially after last night.
Yeah, a team that currently is sitting quite a far ways down now from a potential wild card burst. We will update you ending the show with that team. So we're going to start off here talking about Tim Tebow. Jeremiah, what was that?
As we like to call him here at the GSMC Baseball Podcast, Tim Tebow,
yes, of course. So, Jeremiah, there are reports that at least one team is very adamant about signing him, and that team is the Atlanta Braves.
Yes, yes it is. I saw a report yesterday about the Atlanta Braves having interest in Tim Tebow, and remember, the Braves have a little history of signing players who play two sports. Remember, Deion Sanders also played for the Braves when he was in the NFL.
There might be some catch there. You know, there might be a little truth to that. So the Atlanta Braves general manager John Coppolella confirmed that the team is interested in Tim Tebow and said that the Braves have had multiple conversations with his representatives in a step towards signing him to a professional baseball contract. So Coppolella also said that the potential of signing Tebow is a low-risk investment and that they are sort of looking at this as Tim Tebow, the baseball player, and not necessarily Tim Tebow, the media darling. So they looks like they have real solid interest in what he can do on the field.
Not only that, he's also well known in Georgia because he did play in the SEC when he was at Florida. So he's known in that state, and especially in southeastern country over there in the South. So he's like a, I won't say he's a god there because he didn't play in Georgia, but
he's a Florida god.
He's very relatively known there due to his playing days in the SEC. In football, that is.
Absolutely. Yeah. And as well as the Atlanta Braves, there were a few teams that were maybe reported and interested in signing Tim Tebow. So there were several scouts and teams that met face-to-face with Tebow after his workout a couple weeks ago last week. And then the Colorado Rockies are also another team reported to have interest in the former quarterback. It seems like it's definitely the Atlanta Braves leading that charge right now. But other teams like the Rockies are also interested. When I heard this, the first thing I thought of is, look back to what Tebow was wearing at his open workout. He's wearing navy blue and red. What are the Atlanta Braves colors?
Navy blue and red.
It's like he already looks like an Atlanta Brave.
That's such a coincidence.
You know what I mean?
Once you think about it, yeah.
It's like he already looks like an Atlanta Brave. I thought, wow, he's already sporting the colors. You know, he already looks like he's going to be a member of the Atlanta Braves. And for the Atlanta Braves, obviously, it seems like they're interested in the player, not necessarily the media darling. But I'm definitely, I mean, I think there's more than meets the eye.
No,
I think they're definitely got some of that behind them.
No, you know what? When reports that I've seen or read about, you know, Tim Tebow possibly generating interest in Atlanta, they said that they're more interested in him as a player and not him as an attraction. Me, I kind of don't really buy that. He's such a big name in the world of sports. Everyone knows him. Even people that don't even know anything about the sport of football knows who he is. I don't know. I'm just not buying that. I really do think, in a way, okay, you may be interested in him as a player, but come on. You gotta think about selling tickets too, because come on, the Braves, you guys are not even anywhere near good anywhere at all. And so I don't know, I'm not buying it that he is not being used as a gate attraction. But you know, I do buy that they do have some interest as a low risk investment, because you know, what do you got to lose, you know? What do you got to lose?
Yeah, exactly. I think I agree with you. I think there's probably some truth to the matter that they're looking at him as sort of an attraction. Think of the Atlanta Braves. They're in last place. They have trouble selling out anything regards. They're moving into a new ballpark next year, so they're trying to sort of build up some sort of positive momentum and fan base. Tim Tebow is really a well-liked guy in all sports. Not necessarily baseball, because no one's really seen him play baseball, but his professional career as a quarterback, Broncos, Jets, Patriots, whatever, Eagles. So, I mean, I think there's probably some truth to that. Here's what I would do. I think this is kind of, like, out there. But you know what? You have, like, half of a month, maybe a month left of the season. The Braves literally are just playing for next year. You have some exciting young prospects.
Or the year after that.
Yeah, really. But, of course, like, next year it's a new season, so you kind of have a little more of a, you know, a hope for. You know what I mean? You can sort of throw the season out the window. The Braves are definitely moving towards next season. Think about Dansby Swanson, who they brought up. You know, he hits a home run last night, his first career home run. It's an inside-the-park home run. So they have sort of trying to build up some sort of positive fan base. You know what? I would say low risk, sign Tebow. You know what? If you maybe have like a weekend series at home, maybe you have a top team coming in, think Nationals, Cubs, a team that's really popular, Giants. Maybe I would just say, you know what? Put Tebow out there. Put him in the
on the main roster.
Just for maybe the weekend. Just for maybe the weekend.
Try and
sell some tickets. Get him a few at bats. You're playing a good team that's going to draw more fans out to the ballpark. You have to try and do something to sort of re-energize the fan base.
No, I don't like that. I get from the business standpoint, but I just don't like that because think of the attention or the reception of, you know, team in Atlanta, you know, like Freddie Freeman, everyone on that team, how they're going to perceive Tebow not even playing in a minor league game, they're not going to like that at all. That's why I don't think it's a good idea to just bring him up to the bigs right away. I just don't. I get
I'm just
it.
Saying
I,
for
I
a
get
weekend.
It. No, I know. I don't like that, man. He hasn't played baseball in 11 years. First of all, he belongs in the NFL. I don't care. He needs to find a way to get back to the NFL, playing any other position but quarterback. First of all, that's where he belongs.
Well, he already said he's not going to do that, though.
I know. He's just being – that's just selfish on his part. But anyway, he belongs in the NFL. But the fact that you're going to bring up Tim Tebow without even playing a minor league game, that's absurd. I don't like that.
Well, I'm not saying without playing a minor league game.
The way you said it made it seem like –
I'm saying
know.
Calling him up just for the weekend to get him
you
some at-bats.
Okay, you mean this year or
yeah.
like – really?
Yeah, because
no,
I think you would re-energize some sort of momentum in that fan base. And
yeah, but okay, what is he going to actually play in the game? Is he going to start? Is he going to what is he going to do?
I don't know. Maybe give him a pinch hit, maybe give him a couple at bats. You know, I think it's a lot different with a National League team as opposed to American League team because he can't be the DH. So
yeah, but they're still okay, I get they're out of last place. But if you're on the Braves team, you're still trying to win games heading to next season. Tim Tebow's not going to win you games this
no,
season.
No, he's not. But yeah. What do you have to lose?
I get that part, but I don't like the fact that bringing Tim Tebow to a big league club at all. I just don't like it. Like, okay, we need to see maybe some seasoning of him in the minors. He first of all, he needs to go into the Arizona Fall League, maybe play some winter ball, get some at-bats. That's what he needs to do first if he wants to think anything near baseball. I just don't like that because if Tim Tebow really – if – the Braves really want Tim Tebow to be a successful baseball player, then maybe you need to keep him in the minors to get some at-bats and some experience. I don't think bringing him up right away is a good idea. For any baseball player, for that matter, it's
okay.
Just not, I don't like it, you know.
I mean, we're always going to have a difference of opinion here, but Tebow's representatives would like him to sign a contract in time to attend the Instructional League and possibly in the Arizona Fall League, as you just mentioned, this offseason before he joins a minor league affiliate next spring. I definitely think someone's going to sign him. It looks like the Braves are really interested, the Rockies, maybe some other teams. So I'd say within maybe the next week or two, I think Tim Tebow will be on a team and they will have sort of a game plan for him because you want to, like you said, you want to get him experience, you want to get him at bats, you want to get him out there fielding. You know, you want to just get him playing. That's the only way he's going to sort of improve.
I would be really surprised if they bring him up before the end of the season.
I don't think it would happen. I'm just throwing it out there.
Okay.
You know, I mean, I really honestly do not think it's going to happen.
No, but I actually didn't like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. And then the minor leagues is really, I think, a great spot for Tebow because if you look at it, what's the minor leagues? You might have a few top prospects who you know are going to be really, really solid players, but they're just sort of waiting and kind of delaying the inevitable for them to get called up.
Well, not only that, a lot of minor league teams are in like smaller cities. Like, for example, we have a minor league team here in Sacramento. There's one in Fresno where I'm from. So if like, I don't know the minor league affiliates in Atlanta by heart, but we'll say if Houston, for example, signs Tim Tebow and he happens to go to Fresno, because that is a Triple A affiliate. I'm not saying he's going to go to Triple A. But, you know, the city of Fresno, I'm telling you right now, they would literally line up to go watch Tebow play baseball. So
don't you think that would happen in Atlanta, though, if he
no,
were to go?
No, it will, but they're doing it for the wrong reason, man.
Okay,
in the big leagues, you can't do that. Minor leagues, I can understand that because you don't have a lot of attraction there.
Okay, I agree.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think definitely he'll be in the minor leagues. Think of the minor leagues. Like I said, you have a couple of top prospects who you know are going to be surefire good baseball players, and they're going to get called up eventually. But then you have like really a whole nother roster of like double A, single A, some guys on triple A that are kind of just there because they're not good enough to get to the big leagues,
or so they're just really young too,
right? Yeah. So it's not like that Tebow would kind of take away at bats from these guys because they kind of have their career set in stone, you know what I mean? So and the minors is kind of, think about the minor leagues. They try and do everything they can to garnish more attention. Think of like some of the names they have. You know what I mean? You have like the Flying Squirrels. As a, you know I mean, you have like the Las Vegas 51s.
The 51s? I know.
You have like all these things to try and garnish more attention. And then you have like all these different Jersey Knights, like Nickelodeon
or
Star Wars.
For example, back to the Fresno Grizzlies, they have a thing called a promotion called Taco Tuesday. And then for that night, they were called the Fresno Tacos.
So they do everything they can to sort of get people to go out there.
Yeah, and for example, there was a minor league team that had an NWO promotion. You know, they had Scott Hall, Kevin Nash, and X-Pac there. You know, they were bringing some excitement to the minor league crowd. But, yeah, you know, they always had, like, these little promotions, little jersey nights. So, yeah, they're a little more wacky in a sort of a sense. But that's how minor league baseball is. You know, that's what you have to do to attract a smaller city.
And Tim Tebow fits perfectly in that
mold.
So I definitely think someone's going to take a shot on him. Looks like the Braves, in my opinion, probably the front runners. Maybe some other teams. We'll have to wait and see. And we will always keep you updated here at the Golden State Media Concepts Baseball Podcast.
But we have to take our first break.
Yes, after the break, we're going to be talking about Clayton Kershaw. He is set to return Friday against the Miami Marlins. What his return means to the Dodgers, we will have that all covered next after this commercial break right here at the Golden State Media Concepts Baseball Podcast.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Baseball Podcast. And now we're going to get to some news out of the National League West regarding the Los Angeles Dodgers. Manager Dave Roberts said that Clayton Kershaw is going to return to the rotation on Friday against the Miami Marlins and against Jose Fernandez. So a big primetime matchup right there.
You have a great pitching matchup there. Yeah. Obviously two of the top slingers there in the NL. So Kershaw threw two innings in a simulated game on August 30th. He also threw in the single-A game for the Rancho Cucamonga Quakes. So
we were just talking about minor league teams.
Yeah, I had to throw that out there. So he threw two innings in a simulated game there. And he said he felt 100%, you know, after throwing a bullpen session on August 20th. So now you forward 10 more days. He's throwing a minor league game. You know, he said, I think I'm pitching in 4 or 5 days, and little to be known, he is pitching on Friday. So he says, it's such a hard question. I need to face hitters. I don't think pitching is good for anyone's back, but he is coming back right away, and he is returning after months on the DL when I guess you can say the Dodgers playing their best baseball without him.
Yeah, it is amazing what they have done. You know, I've said before, they're getting production from guys like Justin Turner and Jock Peterson. Corey Seager playing like a rookie of the year. Adrian Gonzalez is playing great. And pitching rotation is playing really good without him. Kenta Maeda is playing really good. You know, and they, even though despite the slate of injuries they had, you know, Rich Hill, every time he is finally started for the Dodgers, he played pretty well too. So the fact that they're getting Clayton Kershaw, I think, honestly, though, I think they might run away with this division. And he is that big of an impact for the Dodgers. They're probably going to run away with that division now because the Giants are probably not going to catch up to them.
Yeah, the Giants have the worst record in the majors
since the
All-Star break.
After having the best record in the majors since before the All-Star break.
Yeah, a total 180 there in Frisco. So I think we talked about this many times about the Dodgers. It seems like we talk about them every week because they continue to impress us after we really sort of threw them out. So no disrespect if you're an L.A. fan. I apologize because they totally fooled me on this one. No, you threw me a curveball, and my knees buckled, and I was strike three.
I'm not going to lie. We rolled everyone off, and every time we write people off, we're always wrong.
I mean, it seems like we're just like the kiss of death.
I know, right?
We say they're going to fall out, and then they do great.
I know.
And then we say they're going to do great,
and
then
they fall out. Exactly. Like, why is that? Why is that?
I mean, I don't know. Maybe we're just like just cursed or whatever. But anyway, so like you bring Kershaw back in. Jeremiah mentioned the pitching rotation has been doing a lot well. Kenta Maeda, Rich Hill, just coming over from the A's on the trade deadline. He's doing quite well as well in only a couple starts he's had in L.A. But with Kershaw, you put the most dominant pitcher back in the game. With me, I think you could sort of have to wait and see exactly how healthy he is. He might say he's 100%, but we're only going to tell until he pitches.
Do you think they're going to take it slow with him? Like he's not going to go deep in the game?
I guess you can kind of see. We don't really know. I guess you can sort of get a feel for it. I don't know if he's going to be on a pitch count or not. Obviously, like I said, we don't know. If it was me, that's what I would do. I wouldn't be surprised if he goes 6 innings maybe on Friday. I don't think he would go any farther than that unless he's doing something, you know, like he's in a no-hitter
Unless he's on a very low pitch count.
Right.
So like say if he has like 60 to 70 pitches in 6 innings, he's going to stay in the game.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect him to pitch more than 100 pitches. I wouldn't expect him to go longer than 6 innings. But, of course, we'll have to wait and see, and we will find out Friday. He's going up against Jose Fernandez of Miami. Definitely a good pitcher, one of the best in the NL. Definitely a good strikeout guy as well. So it could be a good matchup to look forward to leading into the weekend. But I guess we have to wait and see. With the Dodgers, I think they're definitely okay. They're playing really well, and they're getting a lot of help because the Giants are struggling. I mean, the Giants are maybe even going to fall out of the playoffs completely.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the Mets. The Mets and the Cardinals are really challenging them for those wild card
spots.
And
there's another team that also is falling out, but we'll get to them later after the show. And it's not the Giants, people.
Yeah, so
another team.
So as far as Kershaw, I would kind of take it easy with him because I think your sort of NL West crown, in my opinion, is solidified here. So I'd sort of maybe ease him back into it, get him ready for the postseason. In my opinion, I'd say, you know, if the season ends right now, they're going to be playing the Nationals in the first round, which I think is going to be that likely case. I don't see anyone catching the Cubs. So
no, that's probably not going to happen.
So it looks like they're going to play the Nationals, who are getting back a pitcher in their own right in Steven Strasburg, returning from the DL to pitch today. So, and then Max Scherzer is playing really well. I'd say he's probably the favorite for this NL Cy Young right now. So you kind of have a tough matchup there. So you have to make sure Kershaw's ready for the postseason. So I would kind of ease him back in here his last maybe 2-3 starts before postseason play.
Yeah, and I really do think they're going to take it easy for Kershaw because I know he's not an offensive player, but he's the face of that franchise. When you think of the Dodgers, you think of Clayton Kershaw. And, you know, the back injury, that is pretty – it leaves a huge impact for a pitcher, you know?
Absolutely. That's like a core mechanic of every pitch. Every
movement that a pitcher has includes the back. Well, any movement for that matter in general. But in an ESPN report, Clayton Kershaw said, "Once I cool down and set for a bit, it will stiffen up. As long as I'm okay doing that tonight, it will be a good test, and I should be good to go for my next one." So that he said that after his rehab start. Rancho Cucamonga, that's a great name for a city, by the way, Rancho Cucamonga. But yeah, you know, that does leave me kind of concerned. You know, he said, like, once I cool down, sit down, the bat's going to stiff up. So it's like, what if the Dodgers are, like, playing, like, they're scoring, like, 5 runs in 1 inning and it's such a long rest for Clayton Kershaw, which I'm not saying that's not a bad or good thing,
which is possible. Think about some of the bats they have.
Yeah, so I'm just saying, you know, with Kershaw getting possibly a long rest in between innings, don't you think that might be a major concern? Like, do you think, you know, they're kind of rushing him a bit?
I don't really know. I mean, like I said, it's hard for us to say. Obviously, we're not in the organization. I think they realize how important Clayton Kershaw is to their team,
especially in the playoffs.
Right, so yeah. I think with that being said, I think they are being cautious, and I think they definitely are not taking this lightly. They're taking this very serious. So I'm sure they have a good idea that he says he's 100%. Maybe he's not 100%, but he's at least 90. You know what I mean? So I think they're definitely taking it cautious, and I think they will take it cautious. Make sure he is there for the long haul, because this is why this injury is taking so long. He's been out since June 30th. They sort of tried to rush him back. Obviously, they were not in nearly the position they are now. They weren't even in the NL West lead at the time.
No, they were like 6 or 8 games back.
So it was a lot more serious to get Kershaw back. They gave him like a steroid injection sort of thing, a cortisone shot. And then he sort of aggravated that back more, making the injury longer. So I think they're have sort of a role reversal here, they're going to take it a lot easier.
Yeah, and they have to take it slow with Kershaw here, especially with the way your team is playing. He doesn't – honestly, I think they should wait a little bit, maybe one rehab start. But like you said, Ben, we're not in an organization, so we don't know. You know, he might be 100%. And Kershaw did use all his pitches in his minor league start. You know, he said that, you know, the fastball and slider were pretty decent. The curveball needed some work. But, you know, he threw a couple of good ones.
Yeah, and I'm surprised, really, because we have, obviously, September 7th right now. He pitches Friday. We have September 9th. We thought he'd sort of come back maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks longer.
I thought he was going to come back middle to the end of September.
Right, but he's coming out in the early September, you know what
Which
I mean?
Which is huge. Is this, yeah, because, you know, this is technically playoff time now. We're
yeah,
technically
it's
in the
crunch time.
Now.
It's
yeah.
crunch time. You have so many important games, so many important series, and then really that last series against the Giants, I guess we'll have to wait and see how important that is, but it could go down to the wire if somehow the Giants can turn things around. I really
you
don't think
know.
So. They're struggling so much with hitting right now.
It could go down to Kershaw versus Bumgarner.
You never
series.
Know.
Never
it,
know.
Is a, it is a possibility. Yeah. So I'm surprised the Dodgers and Kershaw are returning this early in the month. I felt like it would have been a lot later. But obviously, I guess you can say it's a good thing to get him some more reps leading into the postseason.
Yes, and you know, this is a great – well, I shouldn't say great, but it's a good move to have Kershaw back, you know, on the big league roster. He is such an impactful player. Such an impactful player. But, yeah, but we will always update you here at the GSMC Baseball Podcast.
That's true, my friend. So with that being said, we're going to take our last break, only one more to go, and then we will talk about the Pittsburgh Pirates, who are trending in the opposite direction and really over the last week, week and a half, have kind of solidified that they will not be in the postseason unless they have some sort of miraculous turnaround. So we'll be right back talking about the Pittsburgh Pirates and their currently 8-game losing streak after this commercial break, right here at the Golden State Media Concepts Baseball Podcast.
Always on the go, but the day just won't be one without your Hollywood fix. Let Golden State Media Concepts Entertainment Podcast take care of that. Jordan and Keith is Entertainment Tonight meets Access Hollywood.
I'm Jordan. Guy laughing, that's Keith.
Yeah, I'm Keith.
An all-inclusive look of pop culture.
Welcome back into the Golden State Media Concepts Baseball Podcast. Currently going on in progress, we have the New York Mets with a 1-0 lead over the Cincinnati Reds. That game is in the second inning. We had a RBI single by Jose Reyes, Jeremiah.
Jose Reyes, yes.
He's having
right.
quite a good season
yes.
with the Mets. It seems like he just needed to go back home.
Another guy we wrote off earlier in our first couple episodes.
But it seems like, you know, we talked about on the show about him returning to New
yeah,
York Mets.
Yeah, we thought it was a good fit, perfect fit.
Right,
best
and it's, it seems like he just loves it there. He's playing so good. You know, he's hitting .288. It's quite
yeah,
impressive.
You know, yeah, and you got to love what he's doing there for the New York Mets, who are actually, I've been on the roll lately.
Yeah, they're currently yeah. battling. Like I said, they're only, you know, they're right in the thick of it. They're just behind the Cardinals and the Giants for that last wild card spot. So,
but a team that is not in the thick of it, unfortunately, is the Pittsburgh Pirates. They lost 8 straight games. And losing a brutal win last night to the St. Louis Cardinals. The Pirates had the lead, but the Cardinals had 3 home runs in the 9th. And they won 9-7 over Pittsburgh. Remember, this at one point, Pittsburgh had a 5-0 lead. And, no, yeah, they had a 5-0 lead. I don't know what was up with that, you know?
It's like one of those games where, you know, you have everything going wrong for you, and then you seem like you maybe right the ship, you know what I mean? You maybe get one back, put the 7-game losing streak behind you, and then you just like absolutely throw in a stinker and lose a game you should. Just totally takes any momentum you maybe built up out of it, and you just sort of like they can almost throw in the towel now. You know, they're 5.5 games out of a possible wild card spot. They're sitting at 67-69 with the 8-game losing streak. You know, they were at 67-61. Which is not bad. You know, they would have been right there with the Mets and really just playing their worst at the worst possible time.
Yeah, and I originally said that Pirates had a 5-0 lead. It was actually the Cardinals that had a 5-0 lead. But Pittsburgh came back and were leading 6-5. And they had that lead. and they're heading to the ninth inning. And then Tony Watson, the Pirates closer, just couldn't close it out. Just couldn't close it out at all. He allowed three home runs in one inning. So I don't know. I just honestly, though, this is a tough blow to the Pittsburgh Pirates. And I really do think this is going to hurt them, even though they were hurt already by having that same game losing streak. But honestly, though, this kind of puts a nail on the coffin for the Pirates season. You know, they got a lot of tough teams ahead of them. Like, I know the Giants are in the top wild card spot, but I still think they have the talent to win the wild card, even though they had the worst record of the second half. They got the Cardinals, the team they lost to, and they got the New York Mets, a team that was in the World Series last year, looked like they're about to make a huge playoff run. I just don't see the Pirates. I think it's over. I think it's over there in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I agree. I think definitely. I mean, I would have sort of counted them out even before this long losing streak. Obviously, this does not go in their favor with losing so many games in a row. It makes it a lot worse. But, I mean, I definitely think the Cardinals are in. They've been really the model of consistency in the National League for the last decade. So I think they're in for sure. And then I think really you have the Mets and the Giants battling for that last spot. I think somehow the Giants will still find a way to get it done with so much experience. They've been playing so bad. You would have thought they would have turned it around by now, but they haven't. So I think that definitely goes against them.
Yeah, it's a very important month for the Giants right now.
But I think they somehow still find a way to get it done. The problem is that they can't hit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they just cannot hit. The Giants have the pitching rotation to clinch the spot, but that is true what you said. The consistency of the offense and the lineup is not there. They just have trouble hitting extra base hits. I just don't know what it is.
You can only win so many games 2-1, you know. Yeah. So you have to find a way to generate runs, and the Giants aren't doing that. But I think they'll still find a way to at least get a playoff spot. But as far as the Pirates go, yeah, I think they're totally done. And obviously, it's not going any better for them. They have to keep battling the Cardinals. They're playing them tonight, a team that I think is going to make the playoffs. So it's not getting any easier. They have to just somehow kind of do like what the Royals did within the last couple of weeks, just go on a huge winning streak. I don't see it happening. You know, their pitching rotation's not really good. We mentioned Gerrit Cole is on the DL. They're really their
and
best
not
pitcher.
Not one pitcher on that opening day roster is not in a rotation right now. We talked about it last week. Yeah.
Exactly. So I think for the Pirates, you kind of have to just try and do as best as you can, but I don't see much happening. So
yeah, I don't see it happening either. It's tough for me to see the Pirates in contention. You know, it's just, like I said, it puts the nail on a coffin in their playoff hopes. But, you know, for the second wildcard spot, it's tough for me to put the Giants in there, to be honest with you. Like, they have the rotation, but I feel the Mets have been more consistent lately. And, you know, they're in the World Series last year, too. So, you know, it's tough. The wild card race is getting very nitty-gritty now.
Yeah, in both leagues, in the American League and in the National League. I'd say more so the National League. In the American League, we have maybe two or three teams that are really, really battling it out. But I think in the NL, we kind of have...
We have four.
You know, we have four teams. It's still a lot more... I don't know if close is the answer, but I think a lot more uncertainty, I think I should say. So if there is any sort of positive thing to look at with the Pittsburgh Pirates is that tonight the Pirates are set to celebrate Roberto Clemente Day at the ballpark. So it's obviously an honor and memory of the late Puerto Rican star and baseball Hall of Famer. So if they have anything to look forward to, it's that. I think it definitely maybe will generate a little more fan base, get people to go out to the ballpark, maybe be a little more excited about a game. So I'm going to predict that they're going to break the streak tonight.
You do?
Yeah, I think they'll probably win tonight. I'll just throw it out there. And they definitely need to, so it's an important game.
Yeah, okay. I don't know if they're going to break this streak or not. I don't know. Because the Cardinals are going for a wild card berth, so I have to go with the better team. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely no issue with that. Yeah, so.
But, you know, there is no right or wrong in baseball, like, when it comes to predicting these games. You know, any team can win any given day. But anyways, that's our show.
That is our show for the day. So don't you go anywhere because we have another action-packed show. Jeremiah, what is going to be our lineup?
We are going to talk about Los Angeles Angels pitcher Matt Shoemaker, he suffered a brutal head injury over the weekend. And we're going to kind of give you an update on the pitcher. And we're going to talk about the Minnesota Twins. Brian Dozier is hitting home runs, but the Twins keep losing.
Yeah, I mean, definitely we talked about it last week. They were on a 12-game losing streak at one point. Not the season the Twins were looking for, but Brian Dozier definitely having some sort of positive news to come out of Minnesota.
So. Yeah, and we're going to talk about the Detroit Tigers playoff hopes with the resurgence of Justin Upton. He looks like a totally different player than first half of the season. First half of the season, he didn't look like he can hit a baseball. Now, that's all he does.
All he does is hit now.
All he does is hit, no matter what.
Everything we will talk about on the next show. But with that being said, this is going to conclude this show. We thank you for listening. And we hope you listen to all our great shows, and you can find them on a multitude of different platforms. You can find them on our website. It's gsmcpodcast.com. Make sure you click on the portfolio of podcasts. You can hear the baseball one. We're grinding. This is episode 24 now, so you can find our previous 23, as well as any other shows in our podcast network. You can find us on a lot of great media playback systems like iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play. You can follow our page on Facebook and Instagram. It's at @GSMC_baseball. And you can find us on YouTube as well as Facebook.
Yes. And did you happen to update them on the Twitter?
Yeah.
Okay, @GSMC_baseball. All right. You got everything. So we'd like to thank you guys for tuning in, and catch us on our next episode.
And we will be back with that episode right now, as a matter of fact.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. So have a good day, guys. Thanks for listening. Bye.